We'll be looking at a lot of scripture, so I don't have a particular scripture to read. So we'll ask you a question. Back in the 70s, and I'm sure most of you were around in the 70s, how many... Can you turn up the pulpit? It's pretty well up all the way. Can you turn up the speakers? The two speakers, and you put them up.
Yeah.
Got them? Is that any better at all? Tell you what. We'll move this over here. Put it like that. And I'll go like this. And then you should be able to hear me. You should be able to hear me because I got this on, right?
Yes.
So, okay. Remember the song? God said it, I believe it, that settles it. For my voice is gone, so don't test. But do you remember that? Okay, can you sing it? It's very short, just a little first little bit. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. I think we're doing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer there. But anyway, I want to talk today about biblical authority. And we used to sing it, God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. I got to push this. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me. Does it settle it for you? Yeah, most of us would say that. But I think we could change that. I didn't do that. We can change that. We can take that out. God said it. That settles it, whether you believe it or not. God said it, and it's truth. And we have the Bible authority for everything that we do. The earliest writings of the church fathers demonstrated their confidence in the New Testament scriptures when they wrote their letters to each other. The pastors would write letters and back and forth. We know that Paul would send some letters. But then after that, even the leaders on the second generation of leaders were still writing back and forth and including a lot of the scriptures that Paul had written, which showed that they had confidence in what Paul had said. And of course, Paul also said a lot from the Old Testament. So, there's two basic tests for the Bible to see if something is scripture. First, they had to have a history of continuous and widespread approval amongst the Christians. Okay, they need to, and if you see something that's not from the scriptures and they say, oh, this is our Bible, look at that. You should be able to tell that, hey, that's not the scripture. And the second one is it was expected to demonstrate that it had either been written by an apostle or specifically approved by an apostle. Okay? That would be Luke and Mark. What they wrote would be approved by an apostle, like Luke went along with Paul on much of his journey. So we know that the New Testament canon and all 27 documents was officially confirmed in its present and final form by the Third Council of Carthage in 397 AD. And all 27 were accepted from the very beginning, sort of. Throughout the years, some people said, no, that can't be. And one of my sort of heroes is Martin Luther, and he didn't like the book of James. And he said it's a right strawy epistle, because James says something about, hey, you show that, you know, you by your works you show that you're saved. And he didn't like that. He thought that it meant that you had to work to be saved. And he got sorted out later. But biblical authority, we believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate in everything it says, even in science, biology, you name it. And we have a statement of faith, I think, on the back wall there. And we're going to look at a few verses. Paul always pressed for truth and sound doctrine. He preached and held it as a standard for all conduct and associates. And there's all sorts of proofs of that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And the phrasing there says, "by they were moved by the Holy Ghost," is like a ship going along and changing direction with the wind. Now, they can't adjust the sails, but the wind is what moves them. And God moved everybody that he had writing so that it would come out in their own verbiage, if I can say that, their own words. Like Peter is very different than Paul. And I'm not an English major in grade 10 when I forget who she was, announced that this is the last English class that you'll ever have to take if you're in the sciences.
Yes.
I hated English class. But then I got to Bible school and they said, "Oh, you don't have English, a higher level of English. You got to take English." I had a lot of fights with, what's her name in Peru? Miriam Tyers, yes. Forrest and I and a few other guys went in and talked to her, and we said, "This stuff is, we had to, I forget what it was, we had to read." And I said, "Why can't we read something Christian or something that has Christian ethics in it?" And so we got to read Anna Green Gables. It was a good book. I'd recommend it to anybody. But people can see different kinds of speech in the writings. And but it does say all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's his breathed into the person that's writing it. And it's profitable for what? Doctrine. And what else? Reproof. And what else? And what else? Yeah. So someday somebody comes up to you and kind of shakes a finger and says, "You know, you kind of hurt me with that." And I'll say, "I didn't know I did that." And that works. Speaking it out face to face. And it works great that way. And that's what the scripture says to do. So another verse from Timothy in 2 Peter, chapter 20, verse 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And we say, that's a good thing. And there we go again. In Timothy 3:17 says, "The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That's why we need the Word of God, to keep us down that path. And the best way to do it is to read it every day a bit, or if you don't get a chance for 2 days, whatever, just sit down and read it on the third day and think about it and how it applies to us. So why do we do this? Well, consider creation. And God, does he exist? Now you can take your Bible, please, to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. here, Psalm 19. So, does God exist? Let's see what Psalm 19 says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. There's heavens, and then there's the firmament. The firmament is is basically space that's over the earth up where our air is. And then the other heavens is farther out. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. So every day it shows the glory of God. And at night it shows a different kind of glory of God with all the stars. And God says, if you can count those stars, the world will end. But he said, no, you can't count those stars. And in verse 3 it says, there's no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. God's speech, it should talk to them. So many times on television you'll see a news report and they're saying, well, we can't understand why kangaroo takes its little baby when it's born and puts it in its pouch for 7 months or so, and we don't understand why it does that. Well, they should know that God has made all these animals if they just read Genesis chapter 1, and that it would be good. So day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So it doesn't matter if you're here in Canada speaking English, or in the Ukraine speaking Ukraine and Russian, whether you're in Bongo Bongo land in the South Pacific, it doesn't matter. You see the same sun, you see the same stars, and you should look and give awe and glory to the Lord for that. And it says, their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heavens, and a circuit to the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof of that sun. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We look at creation, and we should give glory to God and know that he chose to do that. But then we look at this and we say, okay, it's not till verse 9 that it says, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect and it converts the soul. The law of the Lord is his word, okay? And that's what converts people. All the work they've done in Genesis and the Genesis flood and creation, that's excellent, and we need to know that kind of stuff and give glory to God for that. But what gives people saved is the word of God. So some people say, God, no, he doesn't exist. And because God doesn't exist, who cares? Do what you want to do. And that's what's happening in our schools today. They look at TV, they look at their games, and everybody's shooting and killing, stealing cars, whatever. And it just multiplies that constantly going into their minds. And they don't get any repercussions, or if they do get caught on their game, they just push a button and start over again. But who cares what happens in real life? Well, we do, because we know that God exists. Yes, he exists. And how do we know God exists? His creation. That's what the first part of Psalm 19 was. His Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us so much about God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and about creation and how to live, how to defeat the devil. And then we know him by his word. So therefore, we need to pay attention to the word of God, because we do believe that that is God's. We'll back up one there. We'll do this again. It's a little touchy. And we need to pay attention. So what is biblical authority? What makes a book authoritative? What makes a book authoritative? Well, for one thing, the author. And as an example, somebody writes a book about diesel engines. Who here knows all about diesel engines? I don't. There's one guy, he knows. You could write a book about a diesel engine and explain it to us how it works. Why it's different than a gas engine, right? Very good. The author knows because the author's been trained and has studied that. What about CCS, Central Christian School? Anybody here know about that? And can they write? Yeah, there's some. Can they write about that? Yes, I could write about that. She could write about that. We would be an authoritative voice on that. What about CSS? Cascading style sheets. I know that that's what that means, and I know it had something to do with desktop publishing, but yeah, you have to be an authoritative person, the author. And the kangaroos again. Anybody write a book on kangaroos here? I told you all I know. But there's not a loop here. We know about God, but we know about that only from the Bible. We understand the world, but then we don't understand unless we get a true picture through the scriptures. So biblical authority refers to the fact that the Bible is the sole authority on every topic it covers. Science, it's accurate. History, it's very accurate. And our beliefs and our practices on all these things, they should be held up through the light of the scriptures. Whatever the Bible affirms, we Baptists accept it as true. Now, please note the little asterisk. And most of the time you get an asterisk, you got to go down to something else. So we're going to go down to something else. There's many Christians not worshiping as Baptists, but also believe the scriptures. Okay, many Christians, churches, gospel churches, brethren chapels, the no-name church or the name of the city, the town church, what have you. So not saying that it's only Bible-believing Baptists, but it's Bible-believing Christians believe the scriptures, and it's their authority. All our doctrine is based on the word of God, and we want to be truthfully following the teaching of God's word, and these doctrines are true and accurate only as far as they reflect the teaching of God's word. Scripture, then, is the written message of the all-knowing, unchanging, truthful God. And if you do a scripture study in the New Testament especially, but also in the Old Testament, you will see that God prefers truth to anything else. Yes, he's holy, but he prefers the truth. So there's a lot of verses that we could read. In Psalm 119, verse 30, 89, and 160. And verse 89 is the key one. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And of course, Jesus in his prayer, asking to sanctify his people, thy truth, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. That's what Jesus asked. And 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So according to these passages, the Bible really is reliable. And it's interesting if you look at, even in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, God's calling him. And he says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. And then Jeremiah said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said, say not unto me that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and wheresoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. This was a good verse for in Bible school, when you're in preaching class, you know, they bring this one up. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Now we know the Lord God is a spirit. Is this perhaps Christophany, perhaps? Or just something like that? The Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. So they're the words of God. And then 1 Corinthians says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Which is interesting. The commands of the Lord. And in Galatians 1:11-12, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God says that I put the words, my words, in the prophet Jeremiah's mouth, and he gave the commands through Paul. And in Galatians, he received and revealed things. So, history and church teaching and traditions make the final authority for other groups. Like the Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, Joseph Smith, Ellen G. White of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, Charles Taze Russell of the JWs. So the teachings, the writings of the founder and the current leader is what they look at. And sometimes the writings are really high and they've got lots of them. But we have traditions. This little guy and menorah, and this one's is actually writing out more commands for his followers to find. And then there's experience or feelings, the charismatics, and so it's just one of those things that the There's false teachers. And in Corinthians it talks about there must be false teachers among you so that you will know and can tell the truth. So if you keep in the God's word, you will know the truth and when they come, when they, some of these people come knocking on your door and say, hey, here's something new, read this, and you'll be enlightened, you'll know what's different. Now, I don't know if this is going to work. Nah, we won't do that one. Jesus based his arguments with his opponents on the fact that the scripture cannot be broken. And he was always talking to the leaders, the Jewish leaders. Now his disciples were there listening and others of his followers were there listening. But mostly he was basing all of his arguments on scripture. And he says that the scripture cannot be broken in John 10:35. For verily I say, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And the jot and the tittle are Hebrew markings with, they don't have vowels, but they have a little, like a caret on a keyboard, or a little check mark. And part of the letter, and then they put a period underneath the word, a letter of the word, and that gives them how to say it and read it. And that's the tiniest little bit, even the tiny little things of the law. And remember, Jesus' Bible was what? The Hebrew Scriptures, yes. So verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Matthew 5:18. So what else does it say about its own authority? It shows that Christ submitted himself to his parents in Luke 2:51, just like the Old Testament said, children, obey your parents. That's the first command with promise. And then in Matthew 4:1-11 shows that he submitted to the authority of the Bible when he was tempted by Satan. He would be tempted by Satan to jump off the pinnacle and the angels will catch you. And, oh, make that stone turn to bread, because he'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He must be hungry. But he kept replying to each of his temptations about, no, the Bible says thou shalt not test the Lord in vain. The Bible says worship God and only God, and I'm not going to fall down and worship you. And it said earlier that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So what else does it say? Jesus has the written Old Testament, also provided us with some additions that he claimed his own teachings were directly from God. And Mark 35 shows us our Lord in prayer, as the scripture commands. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And he also promised the Holy Spirit, who would bring all his teachings to mind and guide the writers of the New Testament into all truth. And that's what is great. We have that same Holy Spirit. We can use that Holy Spirit to teach us. We look at our book and we say, well, Lord, I don't understand this verse. And you pray about it, nothing comes to mind. So you put a little mark in a book, or you put a little mark in your Bible, and then the next time you happen to be reading there, you say, well, Lord, I still don't. And then the Holy Spirit opens it up to you, and you go, just like pulling the chain on a light bulb. Oh, that's what that means. And that's a great feeling when that happens. And he will guide you into all truth, not falseness. And Jesus said, 14:23, he answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So he was even giving out God's word. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring you all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So some conclusions. God used about 40 men over a period of about 1,500 years to produce the scriptures. And he used their personalities and their trainings and their situations and their love for him. They are God-breathed so that the human authors made no errors and said exactly what he wanted, exactly the way he wanted it said. So the full authority is the sovereign creator God. Therefore, it should not just be theoretical, something to sit around and argue about. And there's a lot of church groups that will call a big meeting or conference in Europe or one place or another, and they sit around. In fact, there was a group of liberals, and we're not talking politics, we're talking people that count themselves as liberals, and they have a tough time with the word. They sat around this table, and each one had a chance to read a verse and say, if that doesn't really belong here, and they would just exit out. And they go on to the next verse, and they'd X that out. Then they like that. They like Psalm 23. I mean, that was comforting. And then we go on to some place where it says he's going to give up his blood. And we don't like that. So they take all that verse out. They ended up with hardly any Bible. They just took away God's word. But we are obligated to obey our Creator and his divinely given authority, the Bible. And I would like to say that we're 4 minutes off being short of an hour. So I need to quit. And I will say thank you for your attention. It wasn't as smooth as I would like it, but that happens. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and that we can trust it and we can apply it to ourselves and that we can trust you in all things. And we know and we have the hope of glory. We have the hope of being in Christ's hands, and then on top of that, your hands holding us safe and secure, waiting for heaven. We thank you that we have the joy of knowing that we're saved and our loved ones are saved, and when they pass away, they're in heaven with you in a far better place. Lord, we thank you for that to hang on to. We thank you for the idea of the rapture that you have said that will come. And we look forward to that, Lord. And we just thank you for your word and all the many blessings. And you are a wonderful, truthful God. Ask your blessing now, in Jesus' name, amen.